We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Alana Parker joining us here from the Riley County Historical Museum. And we're learning about some of the names behind the school buildings here in Manhattan Ogden Schools. And do we have a phone call? No, okay, we don't. Okay.
I was looking forward to hearing some great stories. Yeah. When I was in elementary school,
Yeah, and we've got a brand new elementary school that's opening here in Manhattan this week, and that's over in Blue Township, Oliver Brown.
Yes, and unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to get over there to see it yet, but my goodness, it sounds like it's beautiful and a great school. But Oliver Brown, what a great name to name the school. And I'm sure many might be familiar, since it was so recently in the newspaper, about where that name came from. And that was named for Reverend Oliver Leon Brown, who served as the lead plaintiff, one of 13 plaintiffs in the Board the Brown versus Topeka Board of Education, which became a U.S. Supreme Court case. So the Brown decision determined that initially, quote, in the field of public education, the doctrine of separate but equal has no place. Separate education facilities are inherently unequal. So that was, as it went to the Supreme Court, was the final decision there, beginning the process of overturning Plessy versus Ferguson. So a little bit about Reverend Brown, who was born in August of 1918. So at the time, Brown was actually a welder for the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe Railroad and was studying to become a minister. And attorney Charles Scott, who was a childhood friend, asked him to join the roster of parents who would become plaintiffs in the organization's case against the Topeka Board of Education. So his oldest daughter, Linda, was unable to attend their local all-white school and was forced to travel 24 blocks to the nearest African-American school, which is Monroe Elementary. And I don't know if you've ever been over there to the, it's a National Historic site now, the Brown versus Topeka Board of Education site. It is incredible. I highly recommend anybody, if you haven't had a chance to get over over there to see that. The staff there just do such a wonderful job, and so really neat history, not too far away, that you can go learn and learn about that connection. Now we have a school named Oliver Brown, so you can learn about that connection. So the plaintiffs included several hundred parents in addition to the 13 families in this Topeka case. But Oliver Brown was listed as that lead plaintiff. And so formally, that is how we know that case by. So very obviously very important case here that happened here in the United States, and really had some really positive effects in moving things forward and ending segregation here in the United States. So wanted to mention that one, just a new school and just wonderful history there. And so that is who that's named for, was Reverend Oliver Brown.
Isn't that neat? We have probably the most iconic Supreme Court case involving education. It happened just 50 miles down the road.
Yes. Isn't that incredible?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
Yes. So great name for a local school here.
Yeah. And I haven't had a chance to walk through it yet either. I was not here I had to go to a wedding that day, but I've heard some great things about the new school. Apparently it's just a fantastic facility. So.
Yes, that's what I heard too. Saw a couple of photographs. It looks beautiful.
Yeah. Well, we got probably time for maybe one or two more here.
Okay. How about Eugene Field? This one was interesting, and that's why I was glad to have a chance to learn a little bit more about Eugene Field. So it's hard to imagine that the land that Eugene Field School, so it's located there right at Leavenworth and 17th. The school was named after Eugene Field, who was a poet and journalist known as the Poet of Childhood. So I should say Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard there. Field was born in 1850 in St. Louis, Missouri, and he passed away in 1895 in Chicago. And one really interesting thing about Field, his father was attorney Roswell Martin Field, and he became famous for his representation of Dred Scott. And Dred Scott, that case, Dred Scott was enslaved in Missouri, and upon being taken to Illinois, which was a free state, so Missouri being a slave state, he was taken to Illinois, a free state. Dred Scott sued for his freedom. So it was Eugene Field's father, Roswell, that actually filed the complaint in the Dred Scott versus Sanford case, and it's sometimes referred to as the lawsuit that started the Civil War on behalf of Scott in the federal court in St. Louis, Missouri. Then it progressed to the U.S. Supreme Court. So I thought that was a really interesting connection there. I did not know that that was his father that had really helped fight for Dred Scott in that court case. But a little bit more about Eugene Field. He, for a time, worked as a journalist. And the closest thing that I'm aware of his connection here to Kansas, he did work with the Kansas City Times. He was the managing editor for a time with them, but he was most well known for his children's poems. And the one that was the most familiar to me, I don't know if you've heard Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod.
I don't think
if
so.
You've heard that one, there's several references in movies about that one, but that was published in 1889. So the Board of Education minutes reported in 1912 that a committee from the West End Improvement Association met with the board and urged a new school to be west of the city park. So in January 26, 1917, the superintendent was instructed to prepare specifications for a two-room portable building at the corner of 17th and Leavenworth Street, which we know today as Eugene Field. So I wanted to also mention kind of a neat fact. So Clarence Johnson, I don't know if that name sounds familiar, was the contractor for Eugene Field. He was also the contractor for the Wareham Hotel, and his daughter was Elfrida Peterson, who was a local portrait artist here. And we actually, not long ago, partnered with the Manhattan Art Center to feature some of Elfrida Peterson's portraits. So it's just fun finding all of these little connections and different stories to put those together. So that's kind of what we've got on Eugene Field, but I just didn't know much about him and about that connection with his father there. I also didn't know at the one point the mascot was a unicorn.
Really?
Yes. So funny. That was kind of fun to learn, too, that their mascot was the unicorn. And, of course, they're doing work on the building currently. Last time I drove by, I think all the playground equipment had been taken down. But hopefully that'll be nice and retain some of that historical integrity of the building there.
Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah, and, they, of course, they did the same thing at College Hill, I think, about a year and a half ago. So
yes.
It's looking great. Well, that's pretty neat. One we haven't mentioned was Frank Bergman. Do you know much on him?
Yes, that was one, too. Local connection, named for a local individual. So Frank Bergman School opened in the fall of 1995. At the time, it was designed to include the most up-to-date technological features. And so the school is named in honor of Frank Virgil Bergman. And he, born in 1886, he served as principal of Manhattan Junior High, principal of Manhattan High, and then later served as USD 383 superintendent. So in a little bit of his background, he received his Bachelor of Science degree from Emporia Teachers College in 1917 and his master's from the University of Colorado in 1929. He served as superintendent at a few other public schools and then came to Manhattan and served as principal of the junior high school for 3 years, and then moved on, as I mentioned, to become superintendent. So really great, obviously, grounded in the community of education here in Manhattan. He was also a member of the First Presbyterian Church, the Chamber of Commerce, the Kiwanis Club, Masons, the Parent Teacher Association, the National Education Association, Kansas State Teachers Association, and apparently really enjoyed golf. So he's a very busy guy. But that is who Bergman Elementary School is named for. And actually in college, I kind of have a soft spot for that school. That's where I had one of my part-time jobs was working the before and after school program. And it was just wonderful being there. And I'll tell you what, kids are a hoot. But it was just a great school. Principal was wonderful. And so we just have a really nice community here and really wonderful schools. So to learn a little bit more about the history of where those names came from, like I said, we love to share that with students. That gives them some connection and some pride in the school that they attend.
You bet. And of course, we hit on, I think we hit on every one of them here that are non-presidents and maybe Northview's not named after a family necessarily. There's Bluemont, but that's pretty cool. And Ogden for that matter. But, It's really neat to hear some of these stories and just kind of learn more about the people behind the names, because a lot goes into the decision to name one of these schools. I think USD 383 requires them to be deceased when they name a school, so they don't leave. They not like K-State with Bill Snyder Family Stadium,
right.
You know, Bill's still alive, and
right.
But yeah, that's pretty neat stuff here.
Yes. Well, I just appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit about that. And again, we invite people. The museum is open to the public. We are taking best precautions that we can for visitors with spacing. And of course, you're welcome and encouraged to wear your mask. We have hand sanitizer stations set up, but love for visitors to stop by. And with the school year starting, we're hoping to, whether it's continuing where we can go to the classrooms, or do virtual programming, or hopefully get those kids through the museum, because they sure are a lot of fun, and we miss having them. And we also encourage teachers. If there's anything that we can do for teachers, we'd love to be able to help in any way we can by providing resources.
All right. Sounds good. Well, we encourage people to go out and check out the Riley County Historical Museum here in Manhattan. Alana, it's always great to talk to you. We'll hope to see you again in person real soon.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, stay tuned. We'll have the GMCF Community Hour coming up next. Coming up tomorrow on In Focus, we'll talk with our city officials, Ron Fear, city manager, and Wynn Butler, mayor.
All right, Brandon. And the GMCF Community Hour includes discussion with the Manhattan Arts Center and Meadowlark today. Coming up on the other side of CBS News.